Final hour overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN app. Your home smart speaker and up on TSN 2. Brian Hazy, O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill. Jamie Noodles McLennan, our buddy Scott Mitchell, in about a half an hour. Danny Jansen, your boy, on the IL. What are you going to do? It happens. It happens.
It does, but they got to find a win.
They're struggling, man.
They got to just find wins. Doesn't matter who's out there. They got to find wins. That's something that's, you know, I know they're up against it just based on, you know, who's ahead of them, but they got to keep chipping away.
They do, and after three in Chicago, they're at Fenway for four. So if you want to keep pace with Boston, let alone Tampa, you got to get some wins, man. You got to stay above water here, right? And the Yankees are they're treading water. The Yankees are not in a good spot. People in New York are freaking out. So
Jay's got to find some middle ground. It can't be blow a team out, get blown out. That's that Houston series. It was like the games were over in the third inning. It was like 6-2 Jays, 6-2 Houston. It's find some middle ground and be able to grind.
Yep, exactly. In the NBA, Nikola Jokic is the MVP. So Jokic wins the MVP. I think we knew this was coming, didn't we? Like, we knew.
Yeah.
But like a month ago in the season when LeBron got injured, when Embiid got injured, you kind of knew what was coming. But
I don't know, man. That NBA MVP is a polarizing topic amongst everybody that covers the sport because everyone has a strong opinion. I know. Wasn't CP3 talked about? And
yeah, he was. Yep,
right.
He was. Steph Curry was getting a ton of love.
Oh, this went from, didn't it go from Embiid and LeBron at the beginning of the year as slam dunks, and then they fell off the map with injuries, and then Jokic, like it went up and down. It was a roller coaster the whole year.
It did, and I think when Jamal Murray got injured and Denver never lost a beat, that solidified it for Jokic. And he's an incredible player. He's not a household name. Because, you know, he's a second-round pick. He's a European guy. He plays kind of a throwback style. He plays in a small market in Denver. But he is an unbelievable player. I mean, that goes without saying. The guy just won the MVP. And they got smoked last night. But they're into the second round without Jamal Murray, which is pretty incredible.
Yeah.
So, you know, shout out to Jokic and one of the younger guys in the NBA that might be looking for the mantle. I don't think he's ever going to get it. He's never going to be the face of the NBA. I don't think he's going to be consistently the best player in the NBA. But LeBron is in a different spot, right, based on his age and based on where he's at. Although I'm sure you guys saw last night he had to post his, you know, if you want to bet against me, go ahead, post.
Oh, yeah,
and it's like, all right,
post.
LeBron. Like, we get it. You're motivating yourself, and self-motivation is important. Brady's been doing it forever. LeBron does it. But okay, you know, I got you, LeBron, but you've been out of the playoffs for like a week. You know what I'm saying? Like, in September or October, training camp starts, gear up, but we get it. Like, we get it. We understand. You're still a great player. You guys will be all right. And he's more consumed with Hollywood at this point, right? His movie's finally coming out this summer.
Is that the Space Jam one?
Space Jam 2. It's coming out, I think, in late July, I want to say. Maybe the end of this month or the end of next month. So he's in full, like, promotion mode at this point.
Did you like the first one? I didn't care for it, and I think this one will be worse.
Yeah, it's not great. I mean, Jordan's not an actor, and LeBron isn't an actor. So the acting is not going to be great. It's going to be choppy. But the first one had Newman, right? Wayne Knight played a role in that, and Bill Murray. Like, that was kind of it. And
dude, it's
the
for
premise
kids.
Was cool.
Like, if
it's
there was kids. A Wayne Gretzky that was in a cartoon movie, I would watch it to see Wayne Gretzky, what other hockey guys were in the movie. So for kids that love the NBA, love LeBron, they want to see what other NBA stars are going to be, that's who it's for.
Yeah.
We're not going
exactly
to watch that.
Yep, that's
well,
what it is.
I'll probably be forced to watch it because, I mean,
dude,
my kids
you're not
going to
see it. When
I'll watch it for pop culture purposes and to say, because I want to see LeBron. I want to see LeBron. I'm admitting that. I'll probably check it out. Like, I've seen Space Jam a bunch of times. But you're right,
yeah,
it's
but
for kids.
You never paid to go see it. You probably saw it when it was on free TV, right? Like,
yes,
you go, I mean.
Valid.
But it's fine. I mean, I would go if it was the right time. Say we were back in studio and it was playing at 1:30 and we're on air at 4, I'd probably go because it just falls into that perfect timing. But it's not something that I aspire, like I didn't check it off.
It's not top of mind. I'm with you on that.
Can't wait to see that.
Yeah, I hear you. I'm with you. I can confirm that. I cannot confirm or deny a lot, but I can confirm that. Speaking of which, let's fire up some confirm or deny.
Yes.
I can neither confirm or deny that that this is in fact a segment.
Austin trades Andrew Raycroft to Toronto in exchange for the rights to Tuukka Rask.
It's been my honor and a privilege to serve as the general manager of Toronto Maple Leafs.
It's time for confirm or deny.
Do you regret giving all those gentlemen the no trades or no movement clauses?
I can neither confirm or deny that.
I can't confirm or deny.
And Confirm or Deny is brought to you by Don Valley North Lexus. Enjoy lease rates as low as 1.9% and F-Sport credits of up to $3,000. Visit DonValleyNorthLexus.com for all the details. That is, again, DonValleyNorthLexus.com. Confirm or deny. A statement is made, and we go around the table either confirming it or denying that it will happen. You guys ready to play?
Yep.
Yes.
Okay, here we go. Confirm or deny. The Montreal Canadiens will push the next series to at least six games against Colorado or Vegas.
I'm going to confirm that. I'm not just going to go because you guys know I have ridiculous takes, whether it be a percentage. I'm not just going to say that Vegas, no matter how good they are, or Colorado is going to done with them. I'm not saying that anymore. I'm going to confirm that.
I'm going to confirm it based on if they can continue with this formula. You know, even if they lose, they'll be a hard out. And that's, you know, that's all you can ask for at this point as it gets harder, deeper into the playoffs. But, yeah, I'm going to confirm it. I think you could take it to six or seven and have a coin flip. I think the goalie, you know, Carey Price, people, I saw this last night. It kind of rattled me. People are like, well, Price hasn't stolen a game in the playoffs. Yes, he has. Like, against the Toronto Maple Leafs, I thought he was brilliant in game one. Now, he didn't have to be – he didn't make 60 saves, but he made that save on Marner with 10 minutes left on the backdoor two-on-one.
Game six in overtime. The only reason that the Kotkaniemi could even score was because Price was unbelievable.
Right.
Now, that wasn't the whole game necessarily, but remember that game six? The Leafs had, like, outshot them 13-1.
Right.
And then horrible turnover by Dermott. Kotkaniemi off Bogosian, flutter puck in, see you later.
Yeah.
That was all Carey
Price.
Yeah. And I'm going to confirm it as well because I don't think they're going to get past either team, but I have seen enough and I have been impressed with the way that they played. I expect the formula to continue. Like, this is who they are. This is the way. They're not going to try to be something different.
No, they know now they got the recipe, man.
And I think it'll work. And I think even if they get overwhelmed, that's where Price – like you just posed that question, Noodles, or I guess reiterated someone's statement, as if Price can't steal it.
Right.
Like, who cares if he hasn't technically? They're through to the third round. But what, you don't think Carey Price is capable of doing what Semyon Varlamov did last night? I'm pretty sure he can.
Agreed.
Pretty sure he could steal a game or two. So I will make it a three-pack. I'm going to confirm that. Confirm or deny, the Brooklyn Nets do not need James Harden to win the NBA championship.
I'm going to deny that. I think they need him to win. I think they need him to win. We've talked in the past, starting back to Miami days, with Dwayne Wade, LeBron, and CB4. It's always about the big three, and I think they need him.
Yeah, I'm going to confirm it, too. I think he's a piece of that, especially as you get deeper. And, I mean, he's such a great player, and he kind of facilitates, too. Like, that's the one thing. Like, he always seemed to be an individual player in Houston, but it's like he's sharing the ball in Brooklyn. So I'm going to confirm that.
By the way, Hayes, what is the narrative on Giannis right now? Is he like the best, most talked about player that never gets things done, or what is going on?
That's what it looks like, man. Like, the tape is out on him. He can't hit shots. Like, he's not a naturally offensive player. Like, he doesn't have offensive talents. What he has is physical abilities that very few people in the history of the world have had.
Yeah. I don't think he can pull the Kawhi and manufacture a shot.
He can't. And he gets pushed to the outside, you know, and he can't hit shots. Like, that's the problem. From the line, he's awful. And the Raptors figured him out, and the rest of the league has effectively figured him out.
Siakam's the same way under the gun. Like, he's got to find a way to manufacture those shots and make it happen when they count.
Yep. And in terms of the Nets, I'm actually going to deny this because I think they're going to it feels like they're going to cruise through the East. You know,
really?
Like,
my God. Well, and by the way, the grappler mentioned that you said that at Upper Unionville Golf Course, and you will pay $500.
Well, apparently. That's your star witness, the grappler. Yeah. The grappler. That's the guy that you think is going to push this over the top.
All three of us are friends. He wouldn't pick sides and make it up.
Yes, so. He would. Yeah,
he wants an invite out. That's why he wants an invite out next time you guys are golfing.
No, he's already sniffed one out for me, so he doesn't care about me anymore. He wants one from the O-Dog. That's what's going on here.
Oh, that's what it is.
Me, I'm useless to him because he knows I'll take him out. He's waiting for the other guys. So basically split that and bring me out a few times, and then it's all good. We'll have that conversation off the air. I don't remember that ever happening. I think it's completely bogus.
Selective memory, that's what that's called.
It could be. But I think they're going to get through Milwaukee. It's going to be Atlanta or Philly. Embiid is basically done. He's got a partially torn meniscus. I don't think he's going to be that effective. So they're already in the NBA Finals. I think that's where they're going, even without Harden. Would it help? Clearly. But I think they can do it without him if Durant's playing the way he is. Irving's playing the way he is. Blake Griffin's had a resurgence. They look good, full credit. Confirm or deny, the Blue Jays may not make the playoffs this season, but they will finish ahead of the Yankees in the standings.
Well, the Yankees are having a tough go.
They are, but they're still
above
water.
They're the Yankees, though, and they're just – I don't know. I don't see it. I'm going to deny it. I just think the Yankees, although they could be on their last legs – I didn't think Boone was. It's not like this is Boone's like fourth year, isn't it? Third or fourth year?
Yeah, it's been a few anyway.
Yeah. I'm surprised he's kind of made it through this, but I just think they pour it on and get it done at the end. It's kind of what the Yankees do.
All right, you talked me into it. I'm denying it. I mean the Yankees they do have some big guns there.
Yep.
Now health is a big factor too, but I'll deny it. I think the Jays can hover around, but the
it's close. As of right now, the Jays have a half-game lead on New York. It's not like the Jays are five games up on them either. But right. I'm actually going to confirm this. The Yankees feel they feel stale to me, you know. And the Jays.
Punch?
No, I'm not putting any cash on it because I don't feel
I thought.
That great.
Then you
about
have
it.
No conviction in
it's
it.
It's one or the other. Well, we're playing confirm or deny here. We're not at the craps table in Vegas. But you look at the run differential. The Jays are plus 36. The Yankees are minus 4.
Right.
Like the Jays have generated almost 50 more runs than the Yankees. Like the offense. And that's what you – when you think of the Bronx Bombers, you think of them – dominating in terms of the batter's box, and it hasn't happened. The Jays are in a better spot with guys like Biggio not playing, guys like Springer not playing, Kirk out for a while. So I'm going to confirm it. Confirm or deny, if the Maple Leafs are not going to sign Morgan Rielly to an extension, they should seriously consider trading him before his contract is up.
Absolutely confirm it. You get a sense of it. We've talked about it at length, at nauseam. It's about asset management. If he's
it's a good little word. I like it.
I like to fire that one out there once in a while, not often. But if there's a number coming across your desk that's just not attainable for both sides, then you move on from the asset. It's very simple. It's math. Like, what do you want? How can we make this work? And if it's a number that just doesn't seem like it's going to work, I don't think you have a choice.
I'm confirming it as well, because I think if you are going to have change, that you might start there. If you're keeping the core four, and there's $40 million right there, what is Morgan Rielly's marketplace going to look like financially? And if you're thinking he makes five now, what if he goes to 7.5 or 8? You might be better served.
That's what he'd be looking for.
Okay, so then maybe you're better served spending that money on a free agent defenseman and moving, you know, Morgan Rielly for, you know, more assets up front that you can sprinkle the, you know, instead of signing $700,000 players up front. I'd like to see him here. I think he's a fantastic player.
We all would, Jamie, but
maybe
the number's got to work.
The number has to work. And if it's so high, maybe you start hunting around for, you know, a Hamilton or somebody like that. Now, who knows if Dougie Hamilton would come here and he'd have to move some things around.
And Dougie Hamilton, he's looking for 9.
Yeah, he's looking for maybe more than Rielly based on his numbers.
But is Hamilton a true one? You know, is Hamilton a guy that, you know, would look different, make your dynamic look different back there. I don't know. And he's Morgan Riley's not the problem. I love him, and I think he should be a Leaf for life. But it comes back to what O said. It's just dollars and cents.
Yeah,
and
that's it.
Yep. And I agree with what you're saying. I guess I'm curious as to what his market is. I think he's a very difficult player to evaluate in terms of the cap hit and what he is.
You know,
a couple of years ago, a few years ago when he had those 73 points and he was, you know, there was some Norris chat. That guy was looking at $9 million a year maybe. The last couple of years his game has tailed off. He's had some injury problems. Defensively, he's not a great defensive.
I know, but every agent handles these situations differently, Brian. Some people just compare what this their client, the defenseman, does for their team.
Right.
They're not looking at comparables around the league. Lead the team defenseman in minutes, power play time, shots on net, assists, blah, blah, blah. So pay me.
So well, that's what he's going to ask for. He's an unrestricted free agent. He has the right to do that. And
yes.
I think in terms of the nature of the question, if you know you're not going to re-sign him, you have to seriously consider trading him. I will confirm that.
Yeah,
but in terms of moving money around, where I think they have to think this through, which they will, is it Riley the guy you save the money on? Or do you say, wait a minute, Jake Muzzin at 31 is the guy we got to save the money on? You know, like Muzzin's making, what, 5.5?
5.75.
5.75 or Riley at 7, who are you taking? You know, like who are you keeping? When Riley's 27, Muzzin's 31, you know.
I agree.
These are things you got to consider. Like, and I'm obviously they're going to have to, and they will. But Riley's going to be an interesting case study, man. And, like, listen, if you're moving on from them, they're still in the window. They got to win. So,
right.
You know, that is another thing that makes it complicated that might make them be more willing to gamble with him being a lame duck contract, quote, unquote.
Right.
Confirm or deny, the Tampa Bay Lightning have a legitimate shot at winning two more cups in the next 5 years, which would be 3 and 6.
If they win this year, you mean? Like it
yeah,
would be
like
3 and 6?
Two in the next 5, including this season.
Well, I'm confirming that.
I'm going to confirm that, too. That goaltender in place and the talent up front, they might lose guys. I know they've been trying to make things work for Tyler Johnson wherever he goes or whatever. But it just seems like they're going to pick it up. And we talked about Montreal having a recipe. That team's got a recipe. They got to win 6-5. They'll do it. They got to win 2-1. They can do it. It's just that's a scary machine they got there.
Well, Kucherov's 27. Points,
Jesus,
25.
Is that it?
Yes.
Yep.
Sorelli's 23. Hedman is 30. And the goalie is 26. All of them are going to be there for 5 years.
Yep.
I mean, that's
the total confirm.
Yeah, I'm confirmed too. And yeah, Stamkos is 31. So, you know, but you know, Andre Palat's 30. But like the
you can't
the core
keep the whole
of that
band
group.
Together, but the no. core is together. I'm going to confirm it as well. But history would suggest, you know, it's going to be very difficult to do. The only
Correct.
Team to do it in the last 10 years would be Chicago. And even though over the last 30 would be Chicago, Detroit, I guess Pittsburgh, and Jersey, right? So there have been some examples, but not necessarily over such a short period of time. Like Pittsburgh
right.
didn't do it over 6 years. They did it in 09 and then again in 16, 17, I believe it was. So really you're talking Chicago 3 times in 6 years, and I think Detroit won 3 times in 6 years, give or take. Maybe they didn't even do that. Like, it's very difficult to do.
Oh, it is. It is.
Like, very difficult to do. And they're such a great team. But that said, I will confirm it because I do think they are better than everyone else. Like, I do think they are on their own.
Man,
like, there's clearly other great teams, but they have separated themselves like Chicago, I think, did a decade ago.
That Sergachev is 22. Like,
yeah,
you know,
exactly.
You know, they've got some. A lot of their young guys are really productive guys, too. Like Braden Point being 25, like he's
that
got
Kucherov
5 good
noodles,
years.
Noodles, he put on a clinic the other night in that blowout game. It was just, he was doing stuff with the puck on the power play. I'm like, this guy is so good.
Yeah, we were
like,
talking
so
about
good.
Him yesterday. Yeah,
he's
like,
so good. Like
he
he's
a
top 10 player in the world.
Yeah, no question.
You know what it was, though? He was out of sight, out of mind. When we're talking about McDavid and Matthews and McKinnon and that, like, nobody once brought up Kucherov, like not once, because he wasn't playing.
Yep.
But he starts up in the playoffs. You're like, holy smokes, you forgot how good he is. And he's got bite.
He's got
some bite to his game. He's a little bit dirty, too.
He gets in there, man. He doesn't shy away from anything. The bigger the moment, the better he plays.
Yeah.
And when they need someone, it's like Kucherov's going to do it right now. You're on the edge of your seat. Every time he comes over the boards, you're like, this guy's going to do something incredible. And that's why they won last year. That's why I believe I think they're going to win this year. I mean, clearly no guarantees, but I think they're the best team, and I think they'll win two of the next five, including this year. So confirms across the board. Confirm and Deny was brought to you by Don Valley North Lexus. Enjoy lease rates as low as 1.9% and F-Sport credits of up to $3,000. Visit DonValleyNorthLexus.com for all the details. The Jays are in Chicago taking on the White Sox. Catch up with Scott Mitchell, our Jays reporter. Tee up that series with him and Danny Jansen on the IL. So Riley Adams is coming up. He's a young guy, pretty highly touted at the position. What should we expect? What's up with Biggio? What's up with Kirk? What's up with Springer? Scotty Mitchell on the Jays. We'll catch up with him next. All right, Scott Mitchell will join us, our Jays reporter, here in just a moment. Feeling better coming into this segment. I don't know if you guys noticed at 6 o'clock, I was fighting off a sneeze as we came on the air. My right eye was watering, and I kept it together. I kept it on the rails, but I'm like, we're in COVID. We're on TV, radio. I'm in a room by myself. Not that it matters, but I've got a loud, obnoxious sneeze, too.
Dude, me too. And what I can't figure out is how it's never happened on air, because when I sneeze once, I'm sneezing 10 times min.
Yeah.
Really?
And there's nothing more annoying than a serial sneezer, and I know I am one. Like, my wife will look at me like, you have to stop that, or I'm going to literally kick you out of the house.
I sneeze, I sneezed yesterday, I think. I just lean out of the screen and sneeze.
I saw that move. I was wondering what you were up to over there.
I'll tell you a veteran trick, and it's hard to pull off, is the person that holds it and just goes like, and I'm like, dude, if I tried that, there would be police tape with snot everywhere. Like, the person that holds the sneeze, I don't either.
I don't understand how it's possible to do
If I tried to snop it, there would be toonie-sized boogers flying everywhere.
Yeah.
It's impossible to stifle a big sneeze. Like, if you're a big sneezer, and there's nothing, I get it. I have the loudest, most obnoxious sneeze.
Stopping the McKinnon line on a 3-on-0 is easier.
Yeah, it really is. It's impossible to stop a sneeze.
It is.
Impossible. Here's our Jays reporter, Scott Mitchell. What's up, Scotty?
Well, not a whole lot. How's older drive doing? We need to talk about that Photoshop that was swirling around Twitter. Yeah. That was a good job by whoever that guy is.
Hazy,
if he's listening.
Hazy B looked haggard with the mullet.
Yeah, you did.
It was
a mess.
Weathered
man.
Veteran. Yeah.
Turkey neck.
I look like an old rum nose that was like
noodles.
You look like Dos Equis guy.
You looked like you had a diaper on in that picture with that beard. Like, you could not be trusted to be out in public.
I know.
I loved it.
Thought it was good. I thought it was bang on.
Yeah. That's us, man. That'll be. Listen, I know I'm going to be a weather disaster.
Oh, that was beyond. That was like 2 packs of Roths on the course and whiskey all night.
Yeah,
like,
for
look
45
at that.
Years. Look at that.
That's a 94 on the scorecard with 3 packs of Rothman's Green.
Yeah. You honestly look like you're tuned up in that picture. Yeah, and Odin really weather
you look
at
like
all.
Mike
oh,
Ditka.
Thanks.
Yeah, you look like Mike Ditka.
You look
in the
like
middle,
Ditka.
For sure.
You just need a stash. No, you look good. Yeah. You look dignified. I like it, Scotty. And it's a good point, man. We got it up on TSN too. And so who's this Riley Adams kid? Like, who? He's not a kid. He's 24 years old. But Jansen's going on the IL, and I guess we'll get a steady diet of Reese McGuire. But Adams is going. And what about Kirk? I haven't heard anything about Alejandro Kirk. Where do we stand at the catcher position here with the Jays in Chicago?
Yeah, it's been interesting. I mean, big opportunity for Riley Adams. I wrote about him in the spring, and he was flying under the radar all last year at the alternate site, and some of the biggest power in the organization. Big dude out of California, and the guy just, you know, when he connects, you know, there's big power in that bat. We saw it in spring training. He had a number of home runs. And, you know, I think with him, it's just, you know, do you move well enough as a catcher to be good defensively at that size? A big 6'4 dude, big 225, you know, that's kind of you know, not the norm for the position. You want those guys moving around, blocking balls in the dirt, things like that. But, you know, he's really developed since they drafted him in the third round 4 years ago. And when you look at, you know, where he kind of stands in the organization, nobody's really talked about him. So he's going to get an opportunity here with Reese McGuire. They'll split time. You know, we'll see how many at-bats he gets. But, you know, I think he's an interesting guy that's under the radar. And, you know, we've talked about this a couple of times. There's five catchers right now on the 40-man roster. And, you know, I really think one of these guys is going to get dealt at some point. So, you know, maybe even a little bit of a showcase here for Adams heading into the trade deadline for the Blue Jays, because I think all of these guys have been asked about, and you talk about Kirk, and, you know, unfortunately he's on the 60-day right now, so he's not even eligible till Canada Day. So, you know, probably 3 weeks till we see him, but he's progressing. And, you know, I think the way his bat looked right before he hit the IL is probably, you know, the best sign for the Blue Jays at the catcher spot, because, you know, I think when we're sitting here talking in September, who's in the lineup the most, I think it's probably Kirk in that bat.
Scotty, with 162, it's always difficult to describe a couple of series or a set of games. But with what they got coming up, Chicago, Fenway, Hayes, where'd you say they go after that, New York?
Yeah, no, they're at home against the Yankees, though, yep.
Yeah, like this segment coming up, it's a pretty big one, isn't it, for these guys? Kind of, whether you want to call it a measuring stick, where they end up in the standings, it's a big one.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, those questions are kind of asked and thrown around. And I think, you know, when you're in a clubhouse and you mention 162, I think you're always trying to test yourself. You're always trying to measure yourself, see where you're at. But, you know, in September, is anybody going to remember a series in early June? No, not at all. But, you know, I think when you look at the standings right now, it's still keep your head above water time. You got to play good baseball here for the next kind of 4 weeks. And then you can put yourself in a really, really good position heading into the deadline to kind of do what you want and see how you can improve this ball club and make a run in the last 2 months. So, yeah, I mean, look, I think this team has been inconsistently consistent all year. I think the issues are the issues, and they're going to continue to be the issues until they get fixed. And I think, you know, you look at it, and these two clubs are very, very similar. I mean, you know, big offenses. A little bit of starting pitching, pretty good bullpens. And, you know, I think the White Sox are kind of a year ahead of the Jays in terms of being all in a little bit. They pushed in, you know, real hard over these last couple of years. And, you know, I think they feel their time is now. And, you know, it's an interesting matchup because these are two of the best teams in the AL.
With Scott Mitchell, our Jays reporter, the Jays are in Chicago taking on the White Sox tonight. And I guess Springer, you know, at some point he's going to return. We don't know when, but Biggio is currently rehabbing as we speak, and he's getting some tune-up games. So we expect him back maybe by the end of the week, give or take. So if and when Springer and Biggio return, how do you see the lineup playing out? Because the bats have been alive, and specifically 1-2-3, it's been arguably the best 1-3 in the American League over the last month and a half. So how do you see, you know, Biggio fitting in clearly further down the lineup, but Springer, if and when he returns in the next, you know, 10 to 14 days?
Yeah, I'd be shocked if he didn't show up on a rehab assignment in Trenton with the Bisons at some point this week. You know, I heard he was really close the last couple of days, and, you know, whether or not they're just taking it slow at the final moments here, it sounds like he's going to be ready to go pretty quick. And, you know, it's a huge addition. I mean, offense hasn't been the problem this season. You know, we knew that was kind of going to be the case. And the fact that you've got four partial games out of Springer up to this point, and, you know, you're still top five in the league in run scored, and your lineup looks pretty deep, you know, on a day-to-day basis. You know, Springer's going to hit leadoff. You know, he's very comfortable up there. That's where he hit the majority of the time in Houston. When the Blue Jays were kind of going through, you know, what they could do in February and March and kind of look at the different possibilities, because there are different possibilities. I think getting him comfortable was their first idea, and then we'll see where it progresses from there. So, I mean, they're not going to bring him back until he's ready to play center field this time, which is obviously the smart thing to do after, you know, seeing the setback that occurred when he clearly wasn't 100%. So, you know, it's going to be, you know, Springer, Bichette, Guerrero, Teoscar. Those are the four guys that, you know, Charlie really likes atop that lineup. And then Marcus Semien has just been unbelievable. And you start to think about how deep this lineup could look with a hot Semien, a hot Lourdes Gurriel Jr. And then you mentioned Biggio. And, you know, I thought he'd be a nice fit in that two hole in March. But now you have to stack that lineup with the guys that are hitting well. And I think Biggio and Gurriel and some of these other guys, you know, they're going to take turns getting hot, and this team is going to keep scoring runs. So it's going to be fun to watch. And, you know, I think Springer's impact, you know, is a little bit muted right now in terms of the fans, because everyone's forgotten about how good this guy is when he's 100% healthy. So, you know, he's just going to make this deep lineup even deeper.
With Scott Mitchell, our Jays reporter, the term spider tag is one I was not familiar with up until recently, but it is the go-to term and go-to product in baseball right now.
Cole was asked about it today.
And he danced around it, basically, right? Like, yeah, if you're not familiar with spider tag, it's like a super sticky, you know, ointment, I guess. It was originally for power weights, right, and power lifting and holding onto weights, and pitchers have been using it, allegedly, using it to gain grip and ultimately maybe some more movement on pitches. And this is something baseball is clearly trying to combat. They've been doing their own reviews, and I guess they've concluded, like, this is a significant issue, and they're moving forward on this quickly. So where do the Jays stand on this? What is your understanding about where the Jays staff may, like, we always think, oh, it's Cole or it's someone in LA or San Diego. Why wouldn't it be a Jay? Why couldn't it be a Blue Jay that's using this? And where could it go here with baseball, and how do they combat this?
Look, honestly, I think it's everybody that's using this stuff. And we've talked about the spin rate era for the last 5 years, and I think we're probably on the cusp here of seeing, you know, exactly why spin rate, you know, was so kind of investigated by teams, because they found a way to be able to do it, whether it's, you know, organizations as a whole or individual pitchers, and that kind of being passed down. But, you know, it's very clear when you look at Cole's career, when he went from Pittsburgh to Houston, his spin rate upped and he turned into a Cy Young contender. And when you talk to people around the game, I do think they think, you know, this issue is kind of just kind of scratching the surface right now. And it's going to be interesting to see where it goes, because obviously baseball is no stranger to a scandal, and everyone's looking for an edge. And when they figured out that, you know, you could go north-south with pitching, fastballs up, breaking balls down, and when you can get that ride on that fastball, and it almost means even more than what that radar gun says, you know, guys are going to try to do what they need to do. And, you know, Cole's comments today are ominous, because, you know, if a guy that got paid $300 million is using it, you think the seventh guy in the bullpen isn't? So it's going to be interesting where this goes. And look, I mean, right now, this is one of the unfortunate parts of the Zoom call era that we're in right now, because these conversations are ones you could have with guys when you sidle up to their locker. But in a Zoom call, I think it's going to be a lot of faces, like you saw with Cole, that, you know, just kind of pass the buck and hope this doesn't hit the fan.
So when Kershaw comes out and he said he's concerned about the no hitters and the pitchers being dominant, like, if you could put a percentage on it, if you know Scotty, like, how much is this sticky grip or whatever responsible for the recent dominance?
Well, I mean, that's going to be the big question right now. And it's very clear when you look at Trevor Bauer's comments about spin rate a couple years ago, and then him going out and improving his spin rates by using potentially a substance by exactly the amount that he said. You know, it's a huge, huge thing, because, you know, they've done studies on spin rate, and it matters. It's, you know, that riding fastball you saw with Marco Estrada, you just don't understand how it works. They've started to understand how it works. And I think, you know, when you look at the steroid era, people debated how many people were on steroids, how many people weren't. You know, I've always thought that the estimate, whatever it is way too low. And I have a feeling, you know, the tack with pitchers is going to be the same kind of story, because I just think they've realized that how much it could benefit them. And the fact that it wasn't really kind of being looked at by umpires or looked for, that's a huge thing. So it's very clear there's a half decade of pitchers getting away with really probably having a good idea of what they're doing going into games and how it's going to affect their arsenal.
Well, I think the key isn't Major League Baseball. How do they get to this without having it prolonged and being an embarrassment to the league? Like, right. Hayes, don't they just got to get to a finality on this and not drag it on and drag the league through the mud?
I think so. And I mean, yeah. Scotty, you would know more than I would in terms of how illegal this is. I mean, we know like pine tar has been used forever, which is an illegal substance, but not to the point where if you use it, you get suspended for 50 games. Mm-hmm. You know, like steroids, steroids felt shadier. They're much more unhealthy, right, for the athlete. Like using spider tack or pine tar or whatever, that's not going to hurt your like immune system or your growth rate or anything like that. But this is just as effective, and I think even worse for the sport in terms of entertainment. Like from a totally callous perspective, steroids were entertaining. Summer of 98 was thoroughly entertaining. I'm not that entertained by, you know, some guy throwing a four hitter and some, like, all these strikeouts and all these no hitters are getting stale. Like, this is worse for entertainment. So I would think baseball should have to snuff that out. But with the steroid era, as you know, Scotty, it wasn't technically illegal. So, you know, back in the late 90s and early 2000s, they weren't testing for it. What is the rule now? Like, is this different than pine tar? Is this equivalent to corking your bat? What can baseball do if they catch a guy?
Yeah, that's the weird catch here is steroids weren't illegal, and obviously everyone, you know, in hindsight frowned upon what was going on, and this is illegal. You can't put a substance on a ball, and, you know, it's just the enforcement of it, and you know how baseball works. There's rules that are written, there's rules that aren't written, mm-hmm. and sometimes the rules that aren't written are enforced more than the ones that are. So, you know, baseball hasn't done well with these things in the past. You can debate how well they did with the Astros scandal, with the, you know, the lack of punishments and the way they went about, you know, granting guys essentially immunity to tell them pretty much nothing. You know, it's going to be interesting to see how baseball handles it, because the past has not been good in terms of these situations. They tend to shoot themselves in the foot multiple times before they get to a solution. And we'll see. I mean, I think today is probably the can of worms opening with Cole, you know, one of the best pitchers in the game, kind of being put on the spot and not really having an answer. So we'll see how Major League Baseball responds to this one.
Yeah, it's man, there's going to be a lot of hypocrites here.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of people screaming, a lot of pitchers yelling and screaming about roids, yelling and screaming about Houston, yelling and screaming about the Red Sox. And it's like, what have you been up to? You know, what have you been doing?
And I think one of the interesting things here is when you look at the steroid going back, there was the argument that, you know, hitters and pitchers almost both benefit from it. And, you know, for an endurance position, a guy that needs to throw 100 pitches a game, of course steroids are going to help you. This is clearly very one-sided,
right?
Pitchers only. So, you know, this does have the potential to be one of those things that's a talking point in every clubhouse in baseball. And, you know, I'd pay money to be a fly on the wall between, you know, where this goes and what hitters have to say to pitchers, even on their own teams.
Right. And again, as I said earlier, purely from an entertainment standpoint, you do not want pitchers to be the ones dominating. Like, if you're in the marketing department and you could pick, it's either the bats are alive or the arms are alive. You take the bats 10 days out of 10.
Everyone, you know, loves the long ball.
Exactly.
Days.
And that was, you know, the benefit of the steroid era is we were seeing incredible numbers that they had to figure out. They had to stop, obviously. But we got to witness the history, whether it's in Cooperstown or not. The summer of 98 happened. Bonds hit those home runs. You know, watching some no-name guy throw a no-hitter because he's got spider tack, you know, that's just not going to work for the fans. And I don't think it's going to work for baseball. So I think they should be even more urgent than they would have been 20 years ago dealing with what they were dealing with. And we'll find out. I guess we'll see what Rob Manfred has in store, because it kind of feels like they're pushing in this direction. And as you said, the cat is out of the bag. Everyone knows about it now. So let's see where they take it. Enjoy it tonight, Scotty. We'll do it again down the road. Thank you for this.
All right, fellas. Take care.
Scott Mitchell, our Jays reporter.
Do you remember George Brett running out of the clubhouse or the dugout when he was caught with his bat?
Pine tar.
That was Al's brother. That was the Al's brother in the grappler when the pizza showed up on Fridays. They would come out of that room.
He, like George Brett.
Storming like George Brett.
Snapping in public.
Furious. I loved it. That George Brett one is one of the greatest snap shows of all
time. Is that the angriest athlete ever caught on camera? Like, it's up there,
Cujo,
man.
Cujo, McMagoo.
Cujo and McMagoo would be one
of
them.
Yeah, but Cujo cooled down immediately because he almost blew his knee out.
Dude, right. I think Cujo, if he did that now, like in 2000, I think he would have got five games for that. I'm not kidding.
Yeah, you would. For
like,
sure.
Like, he took out the feet, God rest his soul, Mick Magoo.
Yeah,
like,
we love
he
Mick.
Took him out.
Yeah. Yeah, he did. And going at him because he was so mad.
Yeah,
you know, it wasn't it was an accident, but he put himself in a position where the accident was his own fault. That makes sense. You know, he blew a wheel. But, yeah, George Brett coming out of that dugout. And you could feel, like, if you watch the tape, they're looking at his bat, and he's like, don't do it. Don't even think about it. You're not calling this one back. And then they're like, yeah, you're out. You're done. And he comes storming out of there it is up on TSN2. Look at how angry
this
guy is.
Here's Al's brother when the pizza shows up.
Oh, I loved it. It's
that
best.
Might be the angriest athlete of all time, right there, George
just
Brett.
Just furious.
Like pulling him back. He wants to kill that ump. Kill him.
Yeah. That was awesome, though.
Emotion, man.
It.
Back in the day. But, yeah, get ready for this, man. We're going to get a steady diet all summer of spider tech.
That's why they just got to just say, don't use it anymore. We catch you. You're 50 games, steroid suspensions. Like, end it and make it go away.
But think about how scared owners are. Like, Gerrit Cole's a perfect example, man. The Yankees paid this guy $320 million.
I know.
He's still going to have
a great
arm.
An agreement and just say we're not penalizing anybody for using in the past. Just going forward, no one's doing it.
Yeah.
But and then it just goes away. Huh?
They got to police it then. You got to check. Like, you got to be
out
there.
And you know damn well somebody will try it. It'll still try to. Yes.
Of course. Guys are still taking PEDs.
But that's their just way to make it go away. You can't go back and say this guy had it that game and talk about wins and records and all that. Make this go away. COVID, people are starting to go to ballparks. It's a good thing for baseball. They don't need it derailed by this nonsense.
That's very valid.
That is true.
Very true. You know, we're turning over the page here in a lot of ways.
Yes. So, you think baseball wants this to kind of put a pause on the – not a pause, but just like derail the positivity of people drinking beers and eating hot dogs at baseball stadiums. They don't.
You don't want to see it happen. You don't want a black cloud over you. And this could be it. I mean, it feels like it's developing in that direction. We'll come back and tee up the slate of games in the National Hockey League tonight, the NBA tonight, baseball tonight. Wrap up a busy show. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on TSN 2.
This Friday, we have to fire up the filter machine again. Al's brother, Al's brother host the last filter?
I believe he did.
So
like
we can
idea.
Get Al's brother involved. And what else we can do with it is we'll get other TSN personalities to get their tweet ready with that little flashing light before send. We can get Kara with a Blue Jays hot take. Mm-hmm. We can get Roddy Smith with a hot take. We could get Dutch with a hot take, James Duthie with a golf hot take. We can get a lot of different people involved in the filter. So
Glenn
that'll
Sheeler.
Be Friday.
I like it. I like it a
Sheeler
lot.
Glenn Sheeler loves a hot take on Twitter.
Does he?
Maybe we'll get Glennie involved with a hockey/Washington Capitals,
Caps.
possibly/ Dallas Cowboy hot take.
Yes.
What a loser supporting that team.
I like
no,
it.
No, but well, you could get LeBron. You could get LeBron, but like Glenn loves the Washington Capitals and he loves the Leafs too. And then he also
I have
loves
never
the
seen
that's
that,
confusing.
Jamie.
Yeah, that one's tough to get a read on.
He hates the Leafs. He doesn't like the Leafs. He's
no,
a phony.
I'm
He's
quite
a fraud.
Certain that he loves the Leafs. Like I saw him
no.
tweet at the Storm the other day. Yeah, I'm telling you. I think the Leafs are his number two team.
Number two. All right. Well, listen, Capitals got him a cup a few years ago. He was an emotional guy when that happened. Can you imagine if the Leafs finally got him one too?
Yeah.
It'd be beautiful, man. You knock off both and Cowboys win a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
It's been a while.
I am not drinking that Kool-Aid with that nonsense.
Me
neither. No way. Marcellus, all of them can shove it. No way.
LeBron. Listen, we're getting mini camps. Rodgers didn't show up. Right? So he didn't show up. We knew it wasn't going to happen, but he's not there. And now we're into, like, the real stuff. You know, at the draft, it was just a report, and OTAs are optional for a reason. But mini camps, mandatory, first time in his career, I believe he has not been there. He's there all the time. And this is a big time for quarterbacks who are always at the front. Like, you know, Brady will be at his. Everyone's there. You got to work with your people. You got to do your thing. Rodgers, not there. Not there. It's not a good scene.
Nope. Well, it's going to be distractions left and right with Aaron Rodgers.
We talked about Major League Baseball getting to it, like just getting to this and dealing with it quickly. Why not just deal with the problem? Like regardless of how good the guy is, and I know he's a franchise quarterback, but just you don't want to play there, move on from it. What else are you going to do? Like stop pissing around with that. Move on.
Well, listen, they want him to come back. They feel like they can win a Super Bowl, and they need him. Like, that's what it comes down to. They know what they have, and they know what they need. And he knows what he is, and he knows what he represents. So it's a game of chicken at this point, and hopefully cooler heads prevail. We'll see. So a couple games in the Stanley Cup playoffs tonight, and we'll see if Carolina can survive. And the nightcap tonight, Vegas, Colorado, that's going to be fun. Yeah. And the Jays are in Chicago taking on the White Sox. So you got that, a couple of games in the NBA. Kawhi into the second round tonight, right? Kawhi doing his thing, game one of that series against Utah, so we'll see what he has in store. So it's going to be a fun one tonight. It's been a fun one this afternoon, as always. We appreciate everyone tuning in, everyone doing work behind the scenes, the Grappler and Mullen, everyone on the TV side. Shout out. We are out of here. Enjoy the games tonight. Enjoy your evenings. We are back tomorrow at
Upper Unionville, third hole. You said it, you fraud. 4 p.m.
We'll chat then.